Last time on Savage Bear Society.
My travels as a Pathfinder have led me to Ustalav, carrying an important object for Venture Captain Evdy Zognos. Upon arrival to the inn, I was greeted by fellow Pathfinders Mossy, Zashe, and Boboakul, who have been tasked with travelling to a village plagued by supernatural dreams, headaches, and night walking. At the centre of it all is the key I retrieved from under the Pathfinder's lodge, Aslan's Key. It has shown me visions of metal towers, lightning, and a wounded woman calling to us.
How much attention are we going to attract if we take a big honking carriage and start rolling through the main street?
And, I mean, the big thing about that is, with everything being so decrepit, people on, like, the last of their legs, seeing someone be able to afford something like this, again, that makes you a target. Like, these are things to consider, I guess.
I would say it make us no more obvious than monkey and frog.
Yes, this is true. Though it will still just get us there faster and likely safer.
Well, the one thing it does do for us, it gives me a good vantage point if anyone tries to attack.
See? Also a tactical advantage.
Then let us do this thing.
All right. Very easy. You guys managed to find a local service that is more than happy to give you a black carriage to ride into north, more northern of where you are at the moment, following the river towards the town of
Ilev.
Thank you. I have it written in my notes, but I keep missing it because it's just like L-L-I-F, but it's L-I-V. Yeah. So to the town of Ilev, or at least the local village of Ilev. Coach driver, just some sour-looking, mildly hunched man, just looks at you and goes, Ilev, I see. Staring at you.
We were told there was work out that way.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's farmhands.
Oh, and there's farms out there.
Well, you don't need to talk for the rest of the trip.
Pay extra for me to open my mouth.
And are you riding a shotgun with him?
Absolutely not.
Anyone riding shotgun with this man?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. You jump up, you guys get inside, and there are a few holes in this, like I want to say, like, this carriage is like black wood, like little, like, I don't know what, like, the curtains on the inside are kind of like a little bit weighed, clearly eaten by moths, fraying a little bit. The couches that you're sitting on inside, like, blood red with like bits of tuft sticking out, clearly needs a bit of servicing care. The horse, like, kind of looks at you, and it's got like that white foam around its mouth. You can see, like, maybe its hooves are bleeding just a little bit, and just kind of like looks at you like it's been like overworked and it's past its date of probably maybe should be, you know, not let out to field in a sense, be put down, but like rested. The guy in the back, can you sit up there with him, Zasha?
Hello.
Greetings, a fellow countryman, I see.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I've been away for some time, but...
Well, yeah, can't take the country out of the man.
No, it's, always feel the pull of the motherland.
And you get a better look of this man, and yeah, he's, like, pockmarked, he's got, like, weird, like, cellular lumps on his face that he kind of, as he looks at you, covered by a slight hood that's kind of eaten away. Maybe one eye is slightly more emerged out of the head than the other. I'm really trying to sit on this creepiness of this guy a little bit harder than I probably should be, but he's like, all right, we've got roads ahead of us. And he whips.
Zasha tries his best to, like, just downplay it. The whole thing.
Just not stare at all of it. And he's, like, kind of hunched looking up at you. Like, if this guy was sitting up straight, he'd probably be maybe, like, a foot taller than you. But because of it, he's, like, he's hunched forward slightly. He's, like, just under your eye line. So he has to kind of crane his neck sidewards to look up at you. He's like, let's go to town. And flicks the heels. And it starts moving. As you move out of Ardis, again, you see these dilapidated houses. The city streets are a little bit more busier, but every time somebody walks past an alleyway or a dark alcove, you see they move just a little bit more of a sprint in their step. Start moving out further, trees are coming forwards again, these black, rot-ridden trees that don't seem to have any life in them, and it feels like spring everywhere else. There's no reason why there shouldn't be life on these trees, just something just in the soil of this nation is sickening. You passed struggling homesteads and farms, trying to dig at black soil just to try and get whatever life is underneath to be able to sell at the markets or be able to subsist themselves with. Journeys long, 8 hours through thick forests, and eventually you see signs for this town. So that's coming up. Are you having much conversation with the guy at the front? Are you kind of keeping your nose?
So will you be staying here this evening? Maybe dangerous to travel night.
Yes, no, don't want to stay too long in one of these villages. Or, on these roads, I'll probably head back as best I can.
Surely village will be safer than traveling in the dark.
Maybe, but these villagers are scared of outsiders, and I have my commodity Bessie here. And he like slaps it on the butt, this horse that kind of groans almost painfully. What brings you to this town?
Well, I have a job to do.
Oh, what line of work are you into?
I work for government. We're doing the annual census.
Oh, right, is that right? Oh, right, the census, yes.
Yes,
what is that word?
Well, it is where we count all Varisian-descended people every year to track our superiority to other nations.
Ah, yes, now, I knew a man who could count, too.
Yes, well, luckily, we take it to other people. I do not have to do the counting. Counting is boring.
Oh, yeah, it's hard and hard.
Yeah, counting, it is hard.
Yes. That's why I drove the coach. I know how to fix it if we get on a wrong path and lose a wheel, or maybe Betsy here gets a little bit unmotivated. I can just, whoosh, and he whips and I speed her up a little.
Yes.
Slowly but surely through a winding path, surrounded by like crags, like these peppered grey rocks that build up around this forest, opens it up, and in front of you is like this sign arcing over with like these destroyed, half-broken fences, as you see the homestead of Ilev. This small, maybe 14 houses, most of them in my mind are like Tudor looking houses, where it's like smaller on the bottom and then larger on the top, with those black beams with white, clearly stained, not seen much use over the years. And you see in the distance there's a few maybe estates, but just as broken and forgotten about as the village itself. You pass through the main street and you see workers by, all looking up at you, and then and they see you maybe perhaps looking back at them. They all look down at the floor and try to not make eye contact with you as you run through, and the cart gets pulled up, maybe in the center of town, perhaps near an inn. It goes, all right, that's as far as I'll take you. You best keep yourself safe here, you hear?
Don't worry, we will be fine.
I tell you what, because I like you so much, if you pay for my accommodation in town, I could perhaps wait for you and take you back. There ain't much leaving here these days.
Well, that is very generous. Mm. Well, I will have to wait and see how much it cost.
For a room here?
Yes, well, you understand. Counting is difficult. We may be here many days.
Oh, yeah. Maybe one, two days.
Counting on his hands. Yes.
All right, well, you can get off my carriage now.
I'll get off the back and I'll walk around the front to him and I'll whip out a potion vial and I'll hand it to him. I'll say, drink this. It is for your face.
Thank you. And he like uncorks it and just looks at this strange liqueur. He kind of gets excited. Perhaps it's actual like tailored wine and he'll drink it. What is it?
It's a potion, elixir of life minor.
Oh, okay.
So because Burbuakal, I think, has been thinking on this trip, and he thinks that this guy must be injured to be acting the way that he does.
Okay. He drinks it a little bit, and he goes, oh, I feel like I got a little bit of a pepper in my step. And maybe you see his hunch just reduce just a tiny bit.
You are welcome, my friend.
Yeah. And he gets off, and he's like, oh, I haven't been this limber in years. You see him wander forwards into the tavern, the inn, which has like those revolving doors out the front, and he like pops his way in.
Perhaps you should have given elixir to horse instead.
Well, that is what I was going to do. I just wanted him to leave. And that is exactly what I was going to do. I'll whip up some elixirs. I've got 4 that I can make a day, so I'll get one. As many as it needs for the horse to look better, because this poor thing.
And it's give me a medicine check on this horse.
17 plus my medicine is 11, 28.
Yeah, this horse is old. You'd guess maybe 20 years past the time it should probably retire.
Oh my god, it's far out.
It's an old black horse, like real, real old. You can see that shoe hoof, the horseshoes have definitely at this point, like maybe underneath, like have pustulated and like causing it pain every step. And I mean, you can take this from a sense of a trade that is suffering from its expenses continuing beyond its date of maintenance, and the accessibility of buying a new horse or even just trying to find somewhere for this horse to go without putting it down would probably be difficult.
I'll, as I'm feeding it this elixir of life, I'll like pat its mane and say, you poor thing, perhaps I should have given you alchemist fire to drink instead.
The horse whinnies just very weakly at you.
Or perhaps not.
You see that some of the wounds on the legs obviously naturally heal up a little bit. I mean, this thing could see a vet and quite a lot of time, or depending, it might be its time. So, but Betsy seems very thankful.
All right, we'll follow him into the presumed tavern.
Push through the doors, and inside is, again, a couple of people sitting in corners, drinking by themselves. The counter itself has seen its years, covered in like scratches and bumps, chunks perhaps missing. The glasses themselves nearly all show a sign of a crack or like maybe like a cut through it. And as you walk in, it's almost like a record scratch, as you just hear creaks of chairs of everyone just like kind of looking over towards you as you enter. You see the coachman come up to the top and goes, your best room that you have, please. I'm having my expenses paid for by them. And points over to... And this kind of very long, elongated hand just points over towards you, and everyone follows this finger pointing at you 4 standing in the doorway.
Zasha just, like, walks in, like, right up to next to him.
Behind the counter, you see is an older woman, hair tied up in an incredibly fizzy, messy bun. She seems to be wearing like some sort of like laboring dress, in a sense that it's for a chef or something, but it is patchworked, stitched back together wherever there have been rips.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Good afternoon. You're looking for room for each of you? Or will you be lodging with the coachman?
No, I believe my friend here has already laid claim to a room for himself.
Mm. Well, we can give you the floor of the tavern at night, if you so wish. We can push away or bring in more hay, if.
How many rooms are available?
2.
Well, he turns to look, Zasha turns to look at the coachman. I'm sorry, my friend, but I do not believe we can give you room. I believe our female companion here would prefer the privacy.
Saturnia shrugs. She's like...
See? She agreed.
Well, I'm happy with the tavern floor, as long as there's comfort in it for me. Perhaps some a bale or even two of hay to sleep on. That can be arranged the full right price. It depends if your copper is in the right place. Looking at you, Zacha.
What is price?
5 copper pieces.
For everyone or all together?
All together.
Of course.
Only the premium for those who come in our town.
That will be perfect.
You exchange coin. She writes down a note and hands it over to maybe a young boy, a very sallow-looking young boy. He nods furiously and runs off.
So tell me, what brings you here?
Kind of giving you a stern eye. And again, you look back into the pub, back into the drinking area, and everyone's just kind of looking at you. Maybe a couple of them have like a loose cigarette hanging out of their mouth, and they kind of take it away, blow it, put it back in their mouth. Others are just kind of just watching you.
Well, I must confess, is not entirely sure. Wait, is the coachman still standing next to him?
Yeah, the coachman's... the coachman probably has found, like, the biggest beer that he can, and he's now looking around for somewhere to sit. So he's probably maybe wandered off, maybe. Okay.
Well, I am just here to assist my companion. She is here on a... She has a particular quest, and she needed some assistance.
A quest? You may say. What is quest?
I must confess, I am not completely sure. She is looking for something.
The bartender / inn owner turns and looks at you, Saturnia. What is it that you're looking for?
Well, we have heard people have been sleepwalking. They awaken in strange place with no memory of how they got there.
Everyone give me a perception check.
24.
19.
Okay, all of you notice that nearly everyone in this tavern kind of shifts a little as you say that. That they've been waking up in places they don't know. They've kind of been looking around. And a couple of them look at each other and then look back at you. As you notice, there's like a different air in this tavern now.
There have been some suffering from this. What do you know of it?
We are here to help.
Are you witches?
Do I look like a witch to you?
Maybe not to you. And her eyes linger on Saturnia, just maybe a little bit longer, looking up at the horns and then back down to you.
Look, then looking over at, you know, or looking down at the 2-foot, 2-foot-and-a-half frogman standing there.
I'm going to raise my rifle, like, not at them,
just shove,
like,
it in their face.
hold the middle of the rifle and, like, hold it up a little bit and then, like, shrug, be like, does this look like a witch?
And then over towards Bobayako, looking over towards Mossy.
He just gives her a big smile. We just wish to help if we can.
See, friendly.
What do you want to know about these sleepwalkings?
Well, you said some people, not all people.
There have been some affected worse than others.
But everyone is affected.
And from the back of the tavern, you do hear, some of us wake up with headaches, whispers in our ears.
Another one from maybe another side of the bar says,
and we struggle to find to sleep at night. Something is amiss in this town, and we're not sure what.
The bartender comes back.
There's been tales that there is one that is affected a bit more than the rest of us. Custer, our blacksmith. You'll find him at, well, what was his shop? The Broken Crown.
Thank you. As I said, we are here to help. We will try to find out what is going on. Once we know, we will come up with plan.
You maybe hear from behind you more creakings. Maybe two of the villagers are starting to like talk over a table while staring at you.
He turns to like face outwards towards like the rest of the tavern. Mm. Any assistance you can give, greatly appreciated.
Give me a diplomacy check.
19.
Couple people talk to each other, murmur, and they just kind of watch you. Their expressions don't seem to change. They're still nervous, yet curious about you.
Well, have think about it. You know where to find us.
In the rooms upstairs.
Barkeep.
Yes.
This Broken Crown shop.
Hmm.
Is it out of the way of the town somewhat? Is it somewhere that is not quite central? Where is it located exactly?
It is just outside of town. Just because of the fumes in the air, it's easier out there.
We were told we have found something perhaps that tells us that these irregularities in the town perhaps concentrated in a specific area. Is there someone who lives more in these areas who are also getting affected, or perhaps just this Kusta, the blacksmith?
Not many live near Kusta. The fumes, you see, give people headaches. So Kusta has he's lived there by himself for a number of years since his passing of his wife and his child.
And who is it that is telling you that Kusta is the one that is more affected?
He ends up in the center of town, confused. That's why he is here.
I see.
Asks more outly if people hear these voices. We sometimes hear whispers in the night and keep it to ourselves, but he has made it more apparent that we're all affected. He suspects witchcraft.
That is our suspect as well.
Well, if you need an angry mob with pitchforks and fire.
Perhaps.
She kind of laughs with you, but like the smile lingers a little bit longer.
Oh, like, my laugh was like, I know you're just joking, and I'm sure...
And hers is reinforcing like, totally she not. Is not, yes. Almost excited. And maybe you hear a couple of other snickers from the back.
Well, if it ever comes to such a ridiculous notion as that, we will call on you.
Don't worry. Dasha turns back to the bartender. We will build that bridge in the wintertime.
She clicks and points at you. And the whole bar goes, hey.
Bubblewackle turns towards you. Zasha. Just like with a, what the fuck?
And everyone kind of, and the whole mood of the tavern changes slightly to a bit more agreeable after you say that.
Yes. You are born under Traveler.
Mm. But what gave it away?
The attitude. Maybe the accent a little. But it's good. This is good fortune for us.
She goes back to cleaning a almost shattered glass with a barely you could call a cloth that is dirty.
I'm going to take Zasha aside. We don't have to wait here until winter, do we?
No, I would hope not.
Then why are we caring about this bridge that they are building?
Well, you see, in Varisia we have saying... Build that bridge in wintertime. Because in summertime, rivers are not frozen. Very difficult to build bridge over river when it is running. But in wintertime, river is frozen. You can walk across, you can build bridge.
You see a couple of people nod in agreement.
But that does not make much sense. You Ustalavians...
Varisians.
Why would you need a bridge in wintertime?
No, you will need a bridge in future.
We just make things as we need them from my country.
But how do you cross river if it is flowing?
I'm just going to point to my legs.
How do you build bridge?
Again, point to my legs.
Sasha looks for reassurance at Saturnia and Mossy.
Look, he's a frog.
He's a frog man. He's going to be able to jump.
How many daylight hours do we have left, Adam?
6, probably, I'd guess. And knowing what this place is, you probably grow... Yeah, I'd say about like 2 o'clock in the afternoon you probably got here.
Oh, I thought it was like nearly nighttime, yeah.
Oh, damn. Do we leave at like 6 a.m., did we?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, maybe. Let's just say somewhere between 2 and 4. Because it's hard to tell in Ustalev.
Because it's, yeah.
Because it's always overcast. It's always kind of overcast. Yeah, it's always overcast, naturally. Yes, Saturnia.
I was saying, do you think we've got enough time to go and visit the blacksmith now? Or do we want to wait until tomorrow? What's...
Perhaps you should ask.
I think they're more responsive to you.
Don't worry. They are our friends now.
They're your friend. All right. Saturnia will go up to the barkeep.
Yes. Drink.
Excuse me. The blacksmith.
Yes.
Is he... When would the best time to visit him be?
Best time when light is out. At night, maybe not. So he should be, as far as we're aware, working at his shop. If you see smoke on the northeastern horizon, he's got his forge on. That means he's working.
Of course. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Go back to the boys.
Have a good... I was going to ask how you'd like your room.
Oh. Any room is fine.
Okay. She kind of gives you a bit of a nod. And gives you like a very toothy smile. Goes back to cleaning.
Alright. Yeah, I'll go back to the party. Alright, yeah, we should be able to go and visit him today. There's, they said, yeah, the northeast horizon. There should be smoke. That means he's working. So, would we like to head off now, or are we happy to wait?
Did we see anything like that when we made our way into the village?
Not noticeably. I mean, if you were to walk out to the street, perhaps look, maybe, something like that. And if you do step out onto the street, again, the couple of people who pass by see you, maybe cross to the other side of the street as they see you standing there and just kind of keep a watchful eye on you, linger a little bit longer than what feels comfortable. But you do see smoke on the horizon towards the northeast. Blackened smoke. Like industry smoke, I guess you could say.
Let's go see a blacksmith.
You pass down like gravel roads that are sided by mossed over stone walls, like flint walls that are stacked up and like cemented into each other. Past fields that, again, people working in them, and as you walk past, they just stop and stare at you while they're doing their best to find whatever is inside the soil trying to grow.
Zasha like walks like almost like happily, like he's walking along. Every now and then he like twirls his cane around as he's walking and then like goes back to like,
this is your country,
walking normally with
it's
it.
Like your childhood. People walking around looking sad, this is your childhood. It's great. You pass these fields and eventually you do see a homestead, and you see a sign hanging down by one single chain this time of what looks like a crown that has been bent out of place. Perhaps meant to look like that, but you're not too sure. But it's a simple rectangular dwelling facing a small hill towards the northeast. A fenced area attached to the home keeps a few heads of cattle, each bearing a mark, again, of this bent crown. You can hear in the distance the sound of a grindstone grinding against something metal.
All right, I guess.
Are we going the right way?
You do see the smoke that you have been following is billowing out from behind this...
Oh, sorry. Zasha looks to Saturnia. Are we going the right way?
I guess so. This looks like it.
Shouldn't Key tell you?
I'll kind of check. Is there, like, anyone else around? Like, I know there were people working in the fields before, but is there anyone else around?
Maybe a couple of people in the field still watching you. I mean, whenever time you'll see people, they're going to be staring at you as outsiders, as people uncommon to the area. They're watching you.
All right.
So maybe, let's say, 2 or 3 people who are just sitting there, just, like, watching you, maybe leaning on pitchforks.
All right, yeah, she'll kind of hesitantly take the box out and open it up with the key inside.
And as this does open, you all still hear the slight whispers.
Can I, like, see out of the corner of my eye, do the people, like, in the field kind of react as well?
Give me a perception check.
18.
You look around. Maybe one of them leans forwards, furrowing their eyebrows at you, like frowning.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, I'll kind of, like, pass the box over and then I'll pick up the key. And if does anything happen? Nothing, yeah. Well, let's... I mean, it didn't work when Every picked it up before, so let's go in and see if anything happens.
So you've separated the key and the box at this point, or have you put it back in the box?
I'll put it back in the box.
Put it back. And you start walking towards this homestead. You follow the sound of this grating metal, as it seems to be coming from an old shed around the side. And as you do, you see a man there, working at what looks like a cleaver, like pushing his foot to start the spinning wheel underneath, and you see he's just like throwing water over the stone and just pushing this cleaver down the grinder, just trying to make it sharpen this cleaver, this meat cleaver. I'll show his image to you now. He seems 40s, 50s, mutton chop beard.
What was his name again, sorry?
Kister. K-I-S-T-U-R. From where you stand, you do see he's got large bags under his eyes. You see him, he's like doing this, and he's fully concentrating on grinding and sharpening this cleaver.
Well, yeah, slowly approach. Well, you know, I don't know. I'll try and knock, but I don't know if he's going to be able to hear.
As soon as you move in, you knock on the door, and you see he like almost jumps out of his skin, and he quickly whips around with this meat cleaver, and he's like pointing at you, and he's like, who are you? What is your business here? And he sees others. He looks up at your horns, and then he holds onto this cleaver with two hands, like, stay back. Stay back, I warn you.
So Tony will kind of step back and, like, put her hands up. She's like, easy, we're friends, we're here to help you. We heard about the voices and the sleepwalking. We're here to help.
The visions.
Yes, yes, we're here to help. My name's Saturnia, we're with the Pathfinders. We're here to help.
Give me a diplomacy check. Does anyone assist?
Yeah, I'll assist.
What are you going to say?
Oh my god. I got a natural one.
You do have a hero point.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I'm going to use that.
All right, Tim, please make the hero point sound. Thank you, Tim. So before you roll this, though,
yes.
Tim, how are you assisting? I mean, sorry, Mossy, how are you assisting? Assisting.
I guess I'll step up a bit. So I'll be right beside her, and I guess I'll be nodding along with everything, but also like reassuring. I guess backing up the facts, pretty much. And he'll say, "Tales of your plight have traveled all the way to the center of the world in Absalom. We are here to help."
All right, you give me a roll first. Give me a diplomacy check. You are aiming for a 15, Mossy.
Oh, cool. That's good, because I got 19.
Awesome. So this is going to be a plus one to this roll.
Okay, cool.
Saturnia.
I got a 9, and that's plus 11. So, 20, and then I guess plus 1. Yeah, so 21.
21. You see he looks and lowers the cleaver.
What do you want to know? Because I don't know how much more I can take of this.
Of course. There's somewhere we can sit and talk.
He is fine.
Okay. When did this start happening? When do you recall it starting?
Fragments. It got worse and worse as the month went on, but I'd say about a month ago it started. Just as whispers wake me up in the night. Just made me get up and get out of bed and just see if someone was poking around, you know, like trying to steal the head of my cattle. But then it got worse. Started having like dreams while I was walking, just seeing things. And ghostly figures, a tall woman with glasses. And suddenly I'd wake up in town. People would be confused, staring at me weirdly. I know I'm not the only one who sees these things.
Yeah, they said in town that you seem to be seeing it the most.
That I have. I've about done it.
Who else do you know who lives out around here? Anyone kind of close or further out of town to you?
I'm the furthest. And I reckon it's that manor up there on the hill. I'm the only one who lives close to it. The ones nearby have been having visions, but none of them have been sleepwalking as much as I have. It must be any points, almost like walks down, like points this like hatchet cleaver thing and points it at this like manor. This decrepit manor that...
Big spooky house.
The big spooky house. You know.
Spoopy.
Yeah. I want to burn it down. Cut it down. Anything will stop these fishes. It must be from there. We saw recently, as about a month ago, we saw bars being put up on front of the windows. But we see no one come and go. But those bars got up there somehow. And even weird flashes. That was before the visions. Now, I can't sleep at night without being woken by myself or something trying to talk to me. That's why I keep this nearby. And he like looks at this cleaver. I'm ready. Stop whatever's happening from up there. And there's folks in the town too who are willing to come with me.
That is fair. Well, hopefully it doesn't resort to that, but we are going to try and get to the bottom of this and give you some
peace.
What
business do you have there?
We've been sent on a quest by the Pathfinders.
By a ghostly figure?
No.
By one who's being handed a needle?
No, it was a little gnome. While this has been going on, Zasha's like walking through his like blacksmith shop, just prodding at things with his cane, like just like lifting them up and looking at them and just like leafing through things.
Okay, you give me a perception roll as you're moving around. But we'll come back to
ghostly figures being handed needles. Syringes.
You've seen that too?
Oh, I have. That's how I know it's that property. I've seen the front in my head as well as with my eyes moving up. I saw the electricity blasting out. A doctor helping some being, some ghost, perhaps alien.
Yeah, that... Just gonna, turn and kind of look back at the party like, that's pretty similar to what I saw.
And when you turn back, he's moved closer to you. He's like,
you know that we need to burn down that place. Destroy it of whatever remnants is inside.
I don't know if we're allowed to destroy it, but we are definitely going to try and stop these visions, and we're going to stop the sleepwalking. Whatever is going on there, it's got to stop. So...
Give me a diplomacy check. What is the result of that perception check?
27.
You look around, it does look like a basic blacksmithing place. You see the forge, you see the cooling buckets. Again, I won't have to repeat again, decrepit, run down, definitely needs maintenance.
Does he have any lead?
You know what, he does. Some. Not in use, maybe lead balls. Yeah. Maybe would be used in bearings, perhaps, for anything. What? What?
Oh, nothing. Just what Justin's going to say.
Okay. In bearings. And what you do notice is he definitely needs a new whetstone. This disc that he's been spinning, grinding this cleaver on, you can see that it's had heavy use recently. To the point that it may be sharpening this cleaver somewhat, but it, in doing so, he has ruined this whetstone, as if it's become like an obsession for him, that it's become maybe his way of dealing with these visions. And it's then you notice bedding, like he's been sleeping out here, that maybe putting the story together into two, that he's been sleeping out here and using the cleaver as a way to kind of get through the night to stop these visions, almost like the sound maybe perhaps cutting through. Because you did crit succeed that perception check. Thought I'd give you a little bit extra. So he
diplomacy?
Leans.
Diplomacy?
So give me a diplomacy.
Oh, 19 plus 11?
11.
Yep.
You see, he kind of relaxes a little bit. So you ain't there to help that thing out, or. You're here to help?
Yes, we're here to help.
relaxes a little bit. You see, like, he's lowered his shoulders a bit. He seems a lot less tense. Well, all right. All right.
Do you think, would you be willing to take us closer to the manor so we can have a look?
I won't step on its grounds, but I can lead you there.
That would be very helpful.
He kind of then looks over the rest of him, realizing like he's gotten himself into like an expressed mood.
We're leaving now.
Yeah, I think that's our best lead that we've had. So yeah, I think we'll just head straight there.
All right, you see, everyone's okay with that. Yep. He looks over you all. You know, clenches his cleaver a little bit tighter, and he starts walking out of his property up towards this manor on the hill. So, you guys are following behind Krista. He's got quite a lead on you guys.
Kista.
Krista. K-I-S-T-U-R. Krista.
Hardly Noah.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, Justin.
Ongoing. I want to know how everyone's feeling. What are the some suspicions, theories?
Bobo Wackel is, I mean, in his mind, it's pretty obvious that there is some kind of spirit up there taking the form of a woman who is using either magic or lightning from the surrounding, like, weather area to amplify, like, into the lightning rods to amplify some kind of mind control magic or you know, spiritual, I don't know, energy pushy-outy nonsense. So, yeah. That's where he's at.
Okay. What do the rest of you think?
Yeah, Zasha's pretty sure this is just, like, some kind of haunt. That's his thing.
That's his vibe.
So Tony's not really sure because she saw the vision and she's like, oh, it seems like genuine. Like it seemed like it was actually trying to help. So she's not sure if it's, you know, what the intent behind it is, but like in the vision it seemed genuine. Yeah. So
Mossy?
Oh, Mossy's like, normally he's pretty optimistic about stuff, but he's just got this this gross feeling about this place. Like, it's making him feel really uneasy.
Mm.
Not sure if he's put together anything just yet, but he definitely knows that they're not going to go up and just burn the place down. I think he's a bit afraid that if you went up there with an angry mob and just, you know, burnt it down, killed everyone, something worse would occur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's really curious about actually going and checking it out, seeing what's there. Doesn't think he's going to get hurt, probably, but it's just this eerie feeling that's just lingering with him. Probably from the sleep with the whispers.
Yeah.
So he's stuck with him throughout the day.
So you follow Kista. About 5-10 minutes. Until finally this overgrown path winds up a hillside, leading to an imposing manor that towers over the landscape. You see Kista's stopped right outside the property's borders, where the path ends. Two curved staircases lead to a patio, grey with age and sagging with disrepair. Underneath the patio, a patchwork of wooden posts support the structure's weakest points, preventing it from collapsing. Most of the windows are boarded up. Cold light flickers through heavy curtains on the top floor. You also notice that all of the windows are covered in iron bars. I'm going to take you to the map.
Does it seem like these iron bars are there to, like, prevent break-ins? Is that the kind of vibe that we're getting?
Give me a society check.
Or breakouts.
Well, that's the question, right? Society, I think it's only +4. Oh, no, +11. 23.
From that, you can surmise that it's most likely to stop things coming in. Built in such a way that it's designed so, like, they're kind of like sitting off, so if they were to get pushed in, like, it would still be defensive.
Yeah, sure.
And it's every single window.
Does it look like you can still see through the windows even though they're barred? Like, is there a curtain behind
them?
Or is it just open?
There is heavy curtains over most of the windows. Some of them are open, some are not. But what you do notice is, looking at the top floors, you do see flickerings of blue light. Christo says, this is as far as I'm going. I'm going to leave you here.
do what you want with the manor. If you don't return, we'll burn the place down. Whether or not the village wants to come here or not.
Perhaps don't tell them about this place just yet.
Oh, they know.
Well, perhaps don't rile them up so much that they want to come up here then.
Oh, I will.
Oh dear. How long do you think we have before you get back to town and bring the mob here?
Can you at least wait until we check it out first, and then we can tell you if we need to bring back the reinforcements or not?
Do you want a day? Two?
Just give us one.
Give us a day.
I think by tomorrow we will have a better idea.
I see, but I can convince them. We come here in the morning. Maybe nightfall. He kind of looks at you for a little bit. Be careful.
Look, before you go doing that, just remember, it's always better to write on skin than paper.
He clicks his fingers and points at you.
He already seems in a cheerier mood and then remembers why he's upset and starts wandering down the path.
So just give us the time we need to figure out what's going on. Then, if we cannot fix, we come back and burn down.
All right. You see him just kind of like watches the building as he walks down the path. He tries to walk down it and just keep his eye on it and look back at you and quickly darts back up to the building and walks down this path. Ahead of you, you have these two staircases that lead up onto like almost patio verandas looking things. You see a couple of doors locked. One is open, showing you a little bit of the inside. What is the plan?
Zasha will fish into his pocket and pull out his little his half silvered mirror that slots over one of his glasses, like the lenses of one, and it attach it.
Awesome. Saturnia.
I'm gonna start walking up the steps, but just kind of being ready. I'm not stupefied anymore, am I?
No, you had your night's rest. Cool. You're fine now.
Cool. So I'm just, I'll have my hands ready to make a spell if I need to, but I'll slowly.
All right.
To make a spell.
Is anyone following Saturnia?
Yeah, I'll follow.
As part of my daily preparation this morning, so I can make two talismans a day. So yep. I've got the one talisman that's the retrieval prism on
on the box. The box.
Yeah. This morning Zasha made a second one, and I'm attuning it to my cane.
Oh, okay. Just in case you lose the cane. I like it. Awesome. Did you give anyone tattoos?
No.
Okay. Just checking. Mossy, you following?
Yeah, I'm definitely following along.
All right.
Is this a wraparound patio? Does it go around the sides?
You can have a little bit of a poke around.
I was just gonna say that Boba Waka might have it just a very brief look around either side to see if there's any other obvious escape routes.
Okay.
Just in case we get inside and we get trapped, if there's other places that we can.
Do you want to have a full 360 of the whole place?
It's probably
worthwhile.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you guys are creeping up the front, maybe just going slowly at the same time, Boba Waka does a full spin around the building. You notice, again, all the windows have these bars on the sides, in front of them. As you move around the sides and towards the back, you see that there are two staircases that lead into the garden around the back. And I'll slowly move you around as you go so you can have it revealed for yourself. You can see staircases around the back that lead into the building. And same on the other side as well as what looks like. You can look into the back. And that's where I'll leave it for the moment, as you get round to the very back. You guys move up around either side of this front entrance. Is anyone opening the doors to go inside?
Not yet. Zasha's just surveying it through his mirror to look for haunt residue.
Okay, what sort of things do you see through your eyeglass?
I don't know.
When you say haunt things, because I want to know details of what I can give you.
Yeah, sorry, I'm looking for the thing. It's my haunt ingenuity.
Okay.
So it's where is it on my character? Oh, here it is.
Your cunning knowledge grants you the ability to notice the emotional echo of a soul that has passed on, leaving the haunt in its wake. When you aren't searching while in exploration mode, Ah, there you go, sorry. The GM rolls a secret check for you to notice haunts that usually require you to be searching. You can disable haunts in the required manner, proficiency, and a skill as long as you are trained. Okay.
Yeah, so it's just essentially to notice if there is a haunt here. But yeah, I don't touch anything yet. I'm just like, only look.
On the other side, for instance, if you guys are going up the same way, there is an open door that side. That it seems like the door itself has broken down. And you do see echoes and wisps that you'd normally see through your vision of perhaps a soul that has not moved on within this property. Perhaps echoes of their life within here. Not sure yet if it's a haunt, but least perhaps a spectre. You're not sure.
He'll like turn around, see that no one else is like within eyeshot. Oh, sorry, eyeline. And he'll call out like, well, perhaps we should not go in yet. And he'll like start wandering back around to the front.
Bobba Ackle, as you go around the back, you can kind of, you can see into this long window that again, covered in iron bars. And you see that inside, most of the floor tiles have been painstakingly repaired and waxed in an attempt to recapture the Great Hall's lost splendor, although not its function. A few chairs have been neatly stacked into the corner next to a shattered blackboard covered in complex script and portable lectern. Speak to the Great Hall having more academic purpose. Elegant marble columns support the ceiling, each fitted with six thin metal rods running through the entire height and a massive spiral staircase that leads up to the upper floors. These thin rods you recognize as Stasen pylons. Saturnia and Mossy, you come up to this broken door. And as maybe you're thinking of stepping in, that's where you hear Zartra shouting from behind you about maybe we shouldn't go in just yet. How'd you respond?
Why, what did you see?
There is something here. Perhaps a spirit of some type. If you'll give me a moment, I believe there is something I can do about this. Perhaps few moments.
What is the plan? What are you thinking?
Zasha's gonna produce a unlit lantern. It doesn't have any like oil or a wick or anything inside of it. It's just completely empty, but it's like an openable lantern. And I'm gonna spend 10 minutes doing like the rituals to turn it into a spirit dwelling.
Oh, okay. What is a spirit dwelling?
A spirit dwelling is a receptacle that attracts spirits to come and dwell inside of it.
Very interesting. All right. You spend a few minutes.
Yeah, so it attracts a spirit wisp to come and dwell inside. And if it does contain anything, it will glow with a faint dim light in a 10-foot radius.
If it detects any spirits?
If there's one, if it gets one.
Okay. Okay. Very interesting. I like this.
And so he'll like, once he's prepared it, he'll like stand in the open doorway and like hold it inside.
Okay. The open doorway. While this is going on, Bobo Ackle, you make your way round the other side, unless you want to investigate further up the staircases at the back.
I'll head back. I would like to just get out an item that I have had for a while. The ectoplasmic tracer.
Ooh. What does this do?
It basically lets me tag an incorporeal creature.
Ah, so it's like a shot you shoot at something and stays visible?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fucking cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, so it's not like a thing I put in my gun. It's its own little spray bottle, basically, and it sprays everything within a 15-foot cone.
That's amazing. I love it.
It helps me, yeah, see and track stuff. So I'll just get that prepared.
So you're just there shaking a rattle can as you go in. Zartra, you put this
lantern
inside the dwelling. As far as you can tell, within 10 feet of where you're standing, there are no ghosts.
He'll continue, like, he'll walk into the building, but, like, just holding it in front of himself, like, wherever he goes. All right. To, like, try and coax any spirit remnants into the lantern. I've still got, like, the half-silvered mirror on to, like, look for any haunt things. So if I do see anything like that, he'll preferentially, like, go that way.
Yep. Are you planning to sneak through, hide that you're here, or are you just walking through? Okay.
No.
Confidently. So you two see that compared to the rest of the buildings in this town, this one has been looked after. It does seem like someone has lived here recently. By recently, I mean within a month. But at the same time, you see the places covered with destruction. Again, the broken blackboard. You see some of the tiles that are on the ground have been smashed. You see dark stains pooled on the floor.
I want to do a quick survival check and look for anything that's unsafe to us. Any traps near the stairs, any tricks like that. Would that be survival or would that be perception?
It'd be perception, but I'm happy with you to use survival.
They're both the same.
Are you stepping inside?
Yeah, I'll follow him. That's 28.
28. I'll get everyone else inside as well. First thing you notice that is probably dangerous is that these thin metal rods are still charged. Yes, the rods that are sticking out of those pillars are still charged. They're still generating electricity within them. They seem to be sparking, and every now and again they arc between each other. Just these flashes of blue light from in between. So as something that could be dangerous, yes, very much so. If you get too close to these things, you definitely will take some kind of nasty shock. As for traps left behind, checking doorways, checking entranceways, windows, you can't spot tethered wire or pressure plates or anything like that.
I'm wondering as well, are those pole things, are they like really loud or anything? Can you hear them?
Yes.
Or just little?
Yeah, sorry, I will say that. Sorry, every time it cracks, I know, Tim, you probably have, but if anyone else has been inside those chambers that they charge up with static electricity and then blast off with the orb, yeah, it's kind of like that. Like the...
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, so it can be quite loud and it's infrequent.
I want to also do, if I could, a perception check on top of that to see if I can hear anything upstairs.
Okay, give me...
these big crackles.
Give me a roll. If anyone else wants to do a perception check to do the same thing, more than happy.
Nah, that's only 13.
These you can't hear anything from upstairs.
Zasha will, like, look at the crackling, like, pillars. Does anyone know what these are?
And Katie, sorry, Saturnia, straight away. You know this room. You recognize these pillars. This is your vision. This is what you saw as you were floating in the center of this hallway.
Yeah, this was in my vision. I saw this room. So I guess this must be... What did you say it was? Bobuckle? What did you call them? The coils?
We called them lightning. What do you call them, Adam? Station coils?
S-T-A-S-I-A-N.
Station coils.
Station pylons, technically, yes.
Pylons, yeah.
You see that they arc, but the arcing seems to be at the top of the poles, not lower down. That makes sense. So they're arcing through the tips.
These pylons, they seem very unsafe. Perhaps it may be best for us to find another way around.
To that end, I would like to throw something like down the hole, down like in between all these pylons, yeah, to try
go for it.
Just to see if anything will happen.
There is the shattered blackboard, so I'm sure you can find like a couple of those puffer things you smack against each other.
What's on the blackboard?
Well,
sorry, do Kyle's thing first.
Okay. And you manage to grab one of these like erasers and you throw it down the hallway, and the electricity doesn't seem to arc down to your level. It seems like these poles are arcing to the upper level. And you can see when you look up, cables and wires that are connecting to the upper floor.
It doesn't seem like they've been set up as like a trap.
No.
To try and arc to people. Okay.
No, not down on your level. The blackboard. And it's hard to... Give me Arcana or Occultism as you're looking over.
20.
Okay. You can see that the notes scribbled on the blackboard, and maybe there's a couple of other research papers nearby that you have a look through. And you see that they are formulas meant to predict planar interactions so that they can be exploited for traveling. And it is hard to put together, as you know, most of these notes seem to be purposely destroyed. This blackboard, again, shattered. How long will you take reading it to try and decipher this?
He'll probably just skim over it.
Okay. With a 21, did you say?
20.
20.
One thing I do have, so I've got my, like, schooled in secrets feat.
Okay.
Which is, you notice the signs and symbols of mystery cults and secret societies.
Okay. Okay, with that in hand, knowing that, you can see that there were hints that whoever was in this building were predicting a weakening between the shadow plane and the material plane for the next 2 weeks in the area surrounding this manor.
Great.
Those 2 weeks were a month ago. Saturnia, what are you doing while Bobbyackle's throwing things down a hallway and Zarcher is reading over notes and papers, just kind of flicking through them?
I guess I'm going to cast Detect Magic.
Okay.
Just to see
what's going on.
If there's anything else out of the ordinary.
First thing you notice is obviously this electricity, or this electric power, does resonate with magic. You feel that, you sense that. This whole area kind of has a gleam of magic to it. You see that the room to the north, next to where Mosi and Zarcher are standing, a lot of magic seems to be emanating from in there.
Okay.
To the south, a little bit, but it seems to be decaying. And from above you, you can see two moving essences that seem to be magical in nature.
All right. Then I might head towards, the north, back down here, down this way.
And north, back down the hallway towards these doors, these double doors at the end.
Yeah. And I might kind of, have a peek inside.
Okay. Mossy?
I'm going to follow.
Okay.
Yeah, likewise. The spooky, zappy hallway is not looking very enticing.
Everyone's just going to leave Bubbyackle just like sitting there throwing things down the hallway.
No, I'll pull my gun out and start following as well.
So as soon as you open it, you are met with the arid smell of our chemical reagents. Most of the furniture lies in splinters. The wood's covered in extended burn marks and pitted with acid. You see there's another door that continues forwards.
Yeah, I'll open it up.
Okay. So you open it up, you find destroyed furniture on the floor. Again, some of it's like having burn marks all over it. You see pots of acid. You also see that the shelves that have fallen down were filled with vials and ambelics and half-finished creations, along with scattered journal pages.
Okay.
As the door opens, you see the furniture move and shift and rise up. And from the room that you're currently in front of and the room beyond, you see bulbous yellow slimes pull themselves out from underneath these shelves, and we are going to roll for initiative.
I'm going to close the door. Sorry, guys, that's it. Let's go.
Well, you're going to have to tune in next week to find out what happens.
A mysterious manor seems likely to be the source of these voices and visions that the town of Illev have been experiencing. its decrepit grand entrance with arcing lightning, the same as what was seen in Saturnia's dreams. Already this manor is a hostile place. Will our Pathfinder survive against these disgusting slimes that have revealed themselves? Was it these creatures that destroyed the manor, or was it something more sinister? Find out next week on Savage Bear Society.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Savage Bear Society. We hope you're enjoying the adventure. Please leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform, and we'll see you next time.